This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No heart in the city, no Le Batard, no Stugatz. It is Peter Burns, Katie George here on a Friday in a show. I should say KG, as we're going all initials on the show today. After everybody got understood the bromance of me and CD, Chris Doering, hosting on Monday, KG, we're doing that. We've got CC, Chris Cody, a.k.a. Chris Content, BG, Billy Gill, RB, Roy Bellamy, and Antonio! Hey, Antonio, how do you spell AC? How do you... I think AC works for you today. I think AC is easy. I can't pronounce your last name, so it's good.
It's Kalatayud.
Kalatayud. Perfect. I would have absolutely butchered that. Hello, Katie George. How are you? Because we've got to talk about how hippos are deadly, National Tequila Day, how you almost got fired when agreeing to do this show, and the Saving Private Ryan... don't laugh. We're telling that story later. In the Saving Private Ryan rabbit hole. And oh, by the way, we had opening day for baseball in a bevy of different games today as well. Hello. Oh. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Hello. I want to circle back. I think Roy's RBs.
Mm-hmm. RBs. RBs? RBZ? Why?
RBs.
You're going to go RBs? Arby's. Oh, RBs. All right. You good with that?
Do you like the roast beef sandwich? The beef and cheddar? Curly fries? No. Jalapeno poppers? Roy's like disgusted.
I don't want to make the joke that just popped in my head, so I'm just going to stay safe and move away.
Yankees beat the Nets, our Nats last night, 4-1. Game called in the sixth. We had a little opening day. I'm going to get the Dr. Fauci's fastball in a little bit. Dodgers beat the Gigantes 8-1 yesterday. Clayton Kershaw obviously pulled on the DL, 10-day DL back injury. And so you ended up having Dustin May get the start. First rookie, I guess, since Fernando Valenzuela to get the start for the Dodgers on opening day. They're like, I almost feel... Katie, that as soon as the Dodgers saw that Major League Baseball expanded from 10 to 16, they're like, Clayton, shut it down, bud. We don't need you today. We're good. We're getting in. The rest of the NL West is a complete dumpster fire. The Rockies, the Padres, not going to be able to do anything. So we're good. You relax a little bit more. But what did you think? Little opening day, did it whet your appetite enough here?
I think it was the most 2020 thing I've seen. The fact that opening night, the first game only goes five innings, and then, hey, that's the result that you're going to get. There was lightning striking in the background. It was visual. It was awesome. And it was a rain delay, and they had rain up to their calf, shins, whatever, in the dugout. Mm-hmm. I kind of was laughing to myself, like, oh, my gosh, this is totally... should be expected at this point, right? Because everything has gone awry in 2020. But when we did shift to the West Coast, watching the Dodgers and the Giants, I thought was pretty enjoyable. And hey, sports are being played, so I'm all for it. I'm watching these games. I'm taking in whatever content I can that's sports related, whether it's a winner and a loser.
She is Katie George. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns ESPN. 2020 sucks. Let's just say what it is, right? The whole year just stinks. You want to hit the whole Nintendo reset button, just blow in the cartridge and be like, we're trying this whole puppy once more. Because, like, we hadn't had what? You know, Dan was talking about on the show yesterday, 134 days we've been in this Saharan desert just walking aimlessly through sports content, which this is the only show that could actually pull off such a said thing. Like, everybody else has floundered. The Le Batard Show has just taken off because I'm not sure how much sports you do on this show anyway, and that's why everybody loves you. But we finally get sports, right, Katie? I sit down, I tell my wife, I'm like, listen, put the kids to bed, I'm watching this, we got baseball, Dr. Fauci comes out, and I'm like pumped. I'm like, all right, am I going to hit my parlay that had him actually throwing a strike and wearing the mask at the same time? And then we see a 50-cent, like, first pitch, right? So I already knew it was off to a bad start. Combine that as soon as the game's about to start, we get, a 7-minute thunderstorm here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Power goes out for 4 hours. Power goes out for 4 hours. I've been dying to watch one flipping baseball game, Katie George. Power goes out, and it was double middle fingers to the skies. And to be like, here we are, 2020. Complete, right?
I had no idea. You poor thing. Okay, so 4 hours without the power. Now you're back up and running, though. So did you just, follow along on Twitter as your phone hopefully didn't die?
Well, but then it was that, how do you conserve enough energy, right, on your phone to tweet, to go through, but then you don't know how long you're going to get it. So it's like being, you know, stranded, and you're like, I've got this much water. How much do I conserve, knowing I don't know when I'm ever going to get power back?
Yeah, no, it's exactly like being stranded. It is.
It was the riches of rich people problems of all. But ultimately, we saw the Yankees ended up beating the Nats 4-1. We saw that Gerrit Cole, how about this, 17-0 now in his last 23 starts, exactly how the Yankees start. And remember, Billy, we were talking about this before the show today. In a 60-game sprint, each one of these wins now is basically 2.7. There's like a multiplier effect. So, you know, I mean, for the Nats, who did not have Juan Soto in that lineup, it's like starting 2.5 games out right off the bat.
When you look at the season, a 10-game win streak or whatever would be like in a normal season would be 16 games or something. I messed up the math. There's no way that that's right. But the point is, you could basically mess up your entire season just getting swept, because that'll count like as, you know, I'm not even going to figure out the math. You know what? This sounded a lot better before the show.
You know what, Katie, was it not part of the thing where Billy did the math and he goes, we're almost already mathematically eliminated as a Miami Marlins fan? That
he did say it. And I want to ask you this question, Billy. With opening day coming up for the Marlins, I've seen some entities are going to have fake crowds, like actually CGI'd in, so you're going to see fans in the stands. They've obviously chosen to pump in crowd noise, which I actually enjoyed, and I've been a proponent fighting against it. I thought it was fine last night as I watched the games. Do you think that the Marlins should get full capacity in the CGI fake fans?
I knew that's where this is going.
It's so funny that you asked that, because when I read the story, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I wonder if they have like settings where like the bigger games, they're going to fill up the stands completely all the way. And like the lesser games, like on a Wednesday game between like the Marlins and the Pirates, if we're going to like scale it back a little and be like, okay, this is one where we're going to put 7,000 fans, where like a marquee, like Red Sox Yankees, it's like, okay, full capacity. We're going to dial it up to 40. By the way, I figured out the math again, because that was horrific what I did before. So like, if you win 6 games in a row, it would be like winning 16 games in a row in a regular season. So all of the games are important.
So going back to the fan thing, Katie, I think it's perfect, because for a Marlins game, you're going to have 7,500 fans there socially distant. Like, I feel like the Marlins, you could at least continue with the social distancing thing that's going on. And then if you're going to CGI people, they show up like third inning, especially in the good seats. Is that...
It's terrible.
Is it terrible or is it true?
I mean, it's true. And that's fair. Like, if we're going to have this, if you're going to CGI and go to the length of actually putting fake fans in the stands from an optic standpoint, I mean, let's at least document it accurately, right? Take the averages from last season's fan attendance, and that's what should be in the stands.
It makes perfect sense. You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Coming up, how Juan Soto was, what, tested positive, and then all of a sudden he's got two double negatives, which might be a positive. I don't even know how Major League Baseball is doing their testing at this point. Welcome back to Leavitt's Hard Show with Stu Gotts, Peter Burns, Katie George. Filling in today, getting ready for the weekend. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Fingers crossed we're going to get a little bit more baseball. That doesn't get rained out later today, as the remaining MLB teams are going to be in action. Fingers crossed, Katie, that you and I are going to get to watch college football this upcoming fall. Joining us right now, the head coach of Florida State Seminoles, Mike Norvell. And coach, very important question, or actually more a learning thing that I wanted to bring up today. Today in 1998, Saving Private Ryan was released. I'm sure everyone's seen it, and except Katie George couldn't remember which movie it was. I'm sure you've seen said movie, right, Coach?
Absolutely.
Okay, right. So with that being said, did you know that Garth Brooks was almost cast in the movie, but after Spielberg and Tom Hanks decided to take the movie, Garth Brooks said he didn't want to be overshadowed, and so he pulled out of the movie. Spielberg then called Garth Brooks up and said, listen, I want you to be part of Saving Private Ryan, okay? And you can pick a role, just tell me, we'll keep you in. Garth Brooks then replied, well, I want to play a bad guy. That didn't quite work in the movie, therefore Garth Brooks was not in Saving Private Ryan. Do you feel like that story I just gave you added any to your day today?
Absolutely not, but I appreciate you sharing.
I appreciate that. Okay, Katie George.
Could you imagine, Mike, thank you for joining us. Could you imagine what it's like for me sitting across from him for the next 3 hours? I just want to put that out there. Thank you for joining us. Obviously, a lot of unknowns. Obviously, new information coming out every single day about the college football season, what will be the college football season. For you as a head coach, how do you keep guys focused on the task at hand, mentally, physically preparing to have a start of a season when there are so many unknowns circulating around everybody?
You know, the message doesn't change. I mean, our focus, you know, whether it was in December when I obviously accepted the job here at Florida State, and or whether it was in March as we were going through preparing for spring practice and all of this hit, it's you control the things that you can control. And every day as we prepare for what the future holds, it's just trying to make sure we're being the best version of us in whatever we're asked to do and however we're asked to do it. You know, it's just about that continual improvement. And, you know, it has been an unbelievable experience that we've had to go through. And it's unlike anything that any of us have ever experienced before. And but our guys, I think, have responded really well. And whether it was virtual meetings, you know, a lot of the voluntary workouts, you know, all of the emotional swings and things that they're having to go through, you know, it's just making sure that you're staying focused on the day and don't get so caught up on what could happen or what might become. Just stay focused on trying to be the best version of you with this opportunity. And if we can do that, then regardless of what happens, whenever they say that we can, you know, get on the field, whenever they say we can play, whenever, you know, we get the opportunity to play a game, then we'll be as well prepared as we possibly can be.
What's been one of the biggest challenges for you in your first year as a head coach taking over, trying to navigate through COVID as well as building relationships with new players, you know, via Zoom, via phone calls and stuff like that?
Well, you know, really just making sure that we're utilizing all resources and, you know, trying new ways to be able to connect. And that's one of the things that we've, you know, done throughout this process. I mean, it was amazing. We were sitting there in May, and we, you know, one of our coaches were talking about it, that, you know, technically we had been here for 6 months, you know, on the job, but really had only been around our players for half of that time. And, you know, just but trying to find ways to continually build those relationships at distance, making sure that, you know, that these guys knew, you know, are getting an understanding of who we are, what we're all about, and just trying to help provide them. And, you know, we've got a football team that's extremely hungry to be successful. And, you know, we're trying to lay out and build that foundation of what it takes to get to that point. And, you know, it definitely has been, some bumps in the road in regards to what they're having to face with the COVID and you know, quarantining and, you know, a lot of the regulations that have kind of been put on everything. But, you know, our guys, I think they've responded really well.
Mike Norvell, head coach at FSU, Florida State University, joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Coach, how many of your guys have you asked right now, person to person, do they want 100% play this upcoming season, even knowing the risk, would say yes?
Well, I mean, it's one of the things that we've presented to our team, and as we've gone through this this off season, you know, there's been a lot of voluntary workouts. You know, obviously, we just started back, this past week with mandatory workouts, and but you know, we've been very open with not only our players but our staff that, you know, if it's something that they're uncomfortable being, you know, being a part of, or if they were uncomfortable, you know, putting themselves in a situation of, you know, being around people, that, you know, we fully support them in their personal decisions, and that's one of the things that we've openly talked about as a team. And you know, I could tell you that our guys, you know, they're excited about what the future holds. And, you know, we know that there's still some uncertainty, some unknowns, but our guys are here, they're working, they're doing a great job. You know, the challenge that they have is to make sure that, you know, that we're doing everything in our power to you know, follow protocol, to maintain the social distance, to keep everyone safe, so we have an opportunity to play the game and coach the game that we all love. And so that's been the biggest thing. And I can tell you, like, our guys, you know, they I think they're very confident in the plan that we've been able to implement here at Florida State, and to be able to have access to the facilities and you know, all the things that have gone into it to ensure their safety.
What's the workflow with you and David Coburn there, the athletic director? Is it a daily phone call of a status update on if college football is being played, or how does this work?
You know, we've got a great relationship, and you know, we definitely stay in touch with any update that we're made aware of. You know, we've got a very open dialogue, and then we'll have a weekly call just to make sure that we're touching base on a variety of issues that have come up, you know, throughout the course of a week. And you know, we're trying to be two steps ahead and making sure that we have plans in place and backup plans in case of adjustment. You know, it's been a really good working relationship.
Mike, how have you and your coaching staff explored different options and approaches to practices, like, say, not having your ones go against your twos, or keeping maybe your quarterback room separate, or cross-training your safeties and corners maybe to run routes just in case? Like, have you guys explored any just kind of different approaches to practices given the just weird landscape we're in currently?
You know, we've had a lot of open dialogue as a coaching staff, you know, the kind of within the leadership group of our staff, and then, you know, down to all aspects, and just trying to take all the thoughts and ideas of what could potentially you know, be a situation that we'd want to explore, and then you know, also making sure that we're aware of all the updates and the things that are coming out, so that we do have a plan in place of you know, keeping guys at distance and making sure that guys are keeping that spacing so that you don't have a big hit when it comes to contact tracing and things like that. And so there's been a lot of discussion about it. We've made a lot of adjustments throughout how we're going to meet, where we're going to meet, what that looks like day to day. Obviously, there are individual and group drills. I mean, we're exploring every single option.
Last question for Mike Dovell here, Florida State head coach on the Dan Le Batard Show. When do you expect a decision will be made by the ACC and FSU to play ball?
You know, I think the ACC put out a statement that here towards the end of the month, you know, they're hopeful to have a decision on the direction that we're going to go and what that next step's going to be. I mean, I believe that the leadership within the conference, you know, obviously our coaches within the ACC, I think have done a really nice job throughout this process of you know, being an open dialogue and communication. And we know that there's a lot of decisions that have to be made with the medical advisory, their committee that's been great throughout this process as well. So I know that we're working through it all, and we're excited about a decision being made. And then we know the direction of the next step that we're going to get to take.
Fingers crossed, because Katie will be covering those games. We'll be talking about it here on radio. By the way, full circle here, before Tom Hanks was offered the role for Saving Private Ryan, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, and Ed Norton were also discussed to play the role. Would any of those three have worked as well as Tom Hanks?
I'm sure they all would have done a fine job, but I think they got it right with Tom Hanks. And so,
Mike, feel free to hang up and just not.
I'm just glad that Peter's given me some ammunition for my next trivia game that I get to play. I get to reach into to a new bag of not saying worthless information, just maybe not as valuable as other information.
It's pretty worthless. I completely understand that, but at least someone would be like, "Wow, Coach, I didn't like this random favorite board game." What's the favorite board game for Mike Norvell right now? Clue, checkers, Monopoly. Where are we going? Life.
My daughter loves Chutes and Ladders, so that's what I play.
Classic.
Boom. There you go. See, I learned something new about Coach Mike Norvell there. Coach, we appreciate the time. Thank you for dealing with us this morning. And best of luck to your guys coming up this upcoming season, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you guys. Have a great day.
There it is, Mike Norvell joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Did he, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think he hated my line of questioning there, Katie?
I just
Six
want
and
to
a
know
half,
for
seven?
You in the first question, like, as you were asking it, like, did you think, like, abort, like, where are you going with this? Did that ever cross your mind as you
now
were
once I was 45 seconds into my opening windup, I figured I was so far into the Garth Brooks story that I couldn't just parachute out of it, no pun intended, because it was Saving Private Ryan. Make you say, ah, na 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 na. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. Everybody appearing via the Shell Pinzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN Plus. Series A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Original series, studio shows, the complete 30 for 30 documentary library are great. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world. All in HD. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Katie George, SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association agreed Thursday to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams for the 2020 postseason. The faculty of the University of Kentucky's African American and African Studies program has asked UK President Eli Capilouto to change the name of Rupp Arena because the legendary basketball coach's name has come to stand for racism and exclusion and alienates black students, fans, and attendees. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Joining us right now is a man that can save my life and hopefully get me some sleep. Michael Collins, a.k.a. he's laughing already, the host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast. Collins.
If you count on me to save your life, you're going to die, bro. I don't know what to tell you. I love brother, you, but right. I don't know how I'm going to save your life. Tell me what to do, man.
Okay, so, Katie, if you want to set this up, because it was a stupid bet, and I hate
it
gambling, I'm not
bet.
Gambling anymore.
So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. So, basically, every Sunday morning, Peter and I embark upon a draft of sorts on any given topic, and the ante was raised this past weekend because we were both sure that we were going to win the draft. It was greatest TV shows of all times. Whoever came in a lower place was going to have to pay the other $50. Well, then some other ideas got bounced around. That's it. Exactly. That's what was said. That's what was said originally. So our producer, Mike A., said whoever comes in a lower place has to do 2.5 minutes of stand-up comedy on next week's show. And so, look.
Collins, this has kept me up. Every single night, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I try to work out material, and it all bombs. I need 2.5 minutes. Like, give me some parameters of what I got to do to make this
work. Wait, did you just say, am I now your lead writer for your comedy set?
He needs help. Yes.
Look, it's just like in golf when they say every bet is won and lost on the first tee before you hit a shot. The fact that you thought, you know what? I can do 2.5 minutes of stand-up comedy. How hard could it be? Like, it's only 2.5 minutes. You who know, someone who is in media, how slowly those seconds tick, how slowly that can go when things are not going well. What in the world made you think that this was going to be an okay bet to do and that you'll just figure it out?
Collins, hold on. It was not me that wanted this bet. It was Mike A., our producer, who brought it up, saying, hey, no, the loser has to do this. So we all both agreed to it. At this point, you're not helping, by the way. I had you on here at ESPN Radio to actually help me.
Said, I agreed to it. Like, it was like, yeah, we'll do it that way. Like, that's not okay. Look,
but he was so sure, Michael, that he was going to win and beat me. And that's now here we are, and he can't sleep. And we need you to give him some kind of advice going into Sunday's show for 2.5 minutes.
Do I need 3 jokes? Do I need 4? Like, what do I need to do?
Keep going. Like, here's the deal. Like, I don't, what kind of material are you going to do? Like, are you going to do knock-knock jokes? Like, are you doing dad jokes? What's your style? Are you going to be, like, style on stage was high-energy observational. So I'm a storyteller. Like, I never got on stage and just told jokes. I just talked about whatever happened in my life. And the fact that I could do it in a way that people thought it was funny made it seem like it was really easy to do. But there were plenty of times when you're working out material, especially new stuff, when it's not going to go well at first, you know? But I'll tell you a quick story. I'm caddying for Chris Couch. And I'm performing in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We're playing in a web.com event back in the day. It was a nationwide tour back then. And I'm performing at the Comedy Zone of Virginia Beach. And my buddy, John Elliott, Jumbo, he's like, all he's dreamed about, too, has been, I want to be a stand-up comedian. So I called the comedy. He was like, man, let me do 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, cool. call the comedy club up Monday. Shows are starting Tuesday. I'm like, hey, my guy wants to come do a guest set. Can we get him up to do 5 minutes? He wants to try. They're like, sure, when do you want him? I go, we'll have him do Friday's first show. You know, early set in between the feature act and me. So it goes the MC, feature does 25 to 30. John would get up and do 5 minutes. And then even if he bombed, then I could get back up and, you know, save the show, right? So I tell him on Tuesday morning, hey, man, you're in. Friday's first show, you're doing 5 minutes. This dude's had all week, right? And he has been thinking about this his whole life. He comes to me Thursday after he's done playing a real round in professional golf and goes, I can't do it. I go, what are you talking about? What's the matter? He goes, I don't even know what I shot today. Because all I've been thinking about is I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to bomb in front of all these people. And I can't do 5 minutes. There's no way. I'm not going to do it. I'm out. I'm like, it's tomorrow, man. You're not going to do it? No. I can't do it. Like, the number one fear of most people is public speaking. And now you're doing it in the hardest. One of the hardest things any comedian will tell you to do, one of the hardest things to do is to try and do stand-up without an audience. Here's a great example for you, too. One of the greatest golf comedies, one of the greatest comedies of all time, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the great characters, hey, looks better on you, though. Hey, how you get a bowl of soup with that hat, right? Rodney Dangerfield had never done a movie before. And he's doing Caddyshack, and he's thinking that he's dying. He thinks he's bombing. Why? Because everyone has to stay quiet while he's delivering the punchline. But for a comedian, that's death. You don't want quiet. And they had to keep reassuring him, no, man, it's great. You're killing it. And he goes, well, no one's laughing. Well, they're not supposed to laugh when you do a movie. Now, you're doing it. You're going to do comedy on radio with audience.
Oh, God. Colin,
we're talking to Michael Collins here, host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast.
Doesn't he have to go? Because none of this is making me feel
good
about this. No,
hold on. He's done stand-up before, stand-up comedy. That's why we're having him on. Michael.
20 years I did stand-up. You know what I never did? I never did a set on radio. Never. But look, here's the good news.
I'm giddy.
I have good news. When you do comedy on radio, you won't know if you're bombing. But that also just means you aren't going to know. Pauses matter in comedy. But on radio, you know what I mean? Man, you don't have to pause and wait for the laughter because it ain't coming.
Michael, like let me ask you this. We've been deciding as a crew, there's four of us who have mics. Do we allow our mics to stay up? So if he is funny and he nails a punchline, like we can laugh, or should we keep our mics down so he has no idea if he's bombing or not?
No, keep your mics down. You don't want to, because here's the problem. The problem is he's going to know the difference between when you're laughing because it's funny and when you're doing the sympathy laugh because you love knowing he's bombing.
But wouldn't that get in his head more if we're giving him the sympathy laugh?
Nah, because here's what you get, Peter, listen, this is what you do. You need to have 4 to 5 stories that you have told amongst your friends that is funny, that they've laughed at. And not the stories that, like, you get the sympathy laugh. Not the ones where they go, oh, yeah, that's really funny. Like, no, it's not. It's not. Because there's plenty of people that are like that. All my friends tell me I'm funny. No, you're not funny. They're just being polite. But you got to have 3 to 5 solid, fun stories that have happened in your life that you can tell now, and don't wait for the laugh. Just tell the story, and then at the end of the story, take a breath, and then here's the next thing that happened. Because you don't even have time. I can't teach you how to do segues in 3 minutes. Like, that's something that takes years of practice to do, man.
Okay. It's going to be 2.5 minutes of absolute torture. We'll do it Sunday. Michael Collins, thank you for not helping me feel any better about this whole loss.
Thank you, Michael.
What time 9:30. Is this happening?
9:30.
Set your alarm, buddy.
Yeah, man. You know what? Okay. How about this? All right. I'm going to wake up. Or this is because it's you and because we're teammates. I will set my alarm for like 8:45, 9 o'clock.
Oh God!
And then I'm gonna call, or y'all call me, and I want you to do during a commercial. Just give me a quick run through, and I'll tweak some stuff for you.
That's it. It is happening.
And then I want to listen. I gotta hear this, and I gotta call some other comedian buddies of mine that I'm not gonna name and tell them, hey man, check this out.
Michael Collins, everybody, host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast. Disaster coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Michael.
Sorry, man. I'll do what I can for you, but I promise.
There it is. Michael Collins joining us. Thank you very much. I thought Dustin May, right, gets the start for the Dodgers last night because Clayton Kershaw back is out. And like he probably had to be nervous, like young kid getting an opportunity to get his start. Guarantee you not as nervous. I don't think if he was as nervous as I am for this bit on Sunday. Welcome back. Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Peter Burns, Katie George. You can follow us on Twitter, Katie_George05. Myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. Hearing that rejoin made me think of Le Batard's interview with Jeff Passan. When was the Elmo Jeff Passan interview? When was that? Was that this year, guys, or was that last year? I think that was because that was Manny Machado in the contract. So I think that I feel like that was what was that in February, March? Billy,
it's become an every time he's on thing now. Like I don't remember how we discovered it. It was probably like 5 or 6 times ago that he was on. But now every time he's on, the poor guy can't get on and talk baseball without Dan or Stu Gatz or whoever making him talk like Elmo.
Have you heard this, Katie? Have you heard the Jeff Passan Elmo?
I have not, sadly, but now I'm very intrigued.
I see Billy furiously typing. I feel like we're going to have to get that. So I want to effort that because if you've never had an opportunity, you need to right now. By the way, SportsCenter update, Katie, while we're efforting. Go ahead.
Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association agreed Thursday to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams for the 2020 season. The faculty of the University of Kentucky's African American and Africana Studies program has asked UK President Eli Capilouto to change the name of Rupp Arena because the legendary basketball coach's name has come to stand for racism and exclusion and alienates black students, fans, and attendees. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
She's Katie George. I'm Peter Burns here. And the reason why I ask is we had Jeff Passan on yesterday talking about baseball opening day. Of course, you saw Yankees beat the Nats, and that game got rained out after 6 games. Gerrit Cole gets the win. Dr. Fauci threw out arguably one of the worst first pitches since 50 Cent. I mean, that thing was – it was not pretty. We were all pulling for him. It was not a good-looking first pitch. And then we saw Dodgers-Giants yesterday. Last night, Dodgers scored 5 in the 7th, and Kiki Hernandez was awesome. 4-5, ends up having 5 ribbies, and of course now the Dodgers taking a insurmountable 2.7 game lead, Billy, according to your math, on the way that the season works out. But Chris, I asked you earlier today about putting together the show notes and how you actually put together a really good idea. And as a baseball fan growing up, I've kind of fallen out of love with the game, Katie. Now, were you a diehard baseball fan, like all in the George household? Was this...
No, we all played baseball, and I played softball for the longest time, but we are right down the street from Cincinnati and the Reds, but I would not say that we were diehard baseball fans in any capacity.
So, with that being said, I think there's a lot of people that have grown apart from America's pastime, whether it's just we live in an ADD society, we're not willing to give 4 hours on a day, it's 162 games, we figure, hey, you know what, we'll show up for the playoffs. Chris Cody, I'm digging your idea, and this is one you had, the 260-game seasons, or at least go ahead and do the math and do 81-game seasons and do 2 sprints at this point. That's actually one of the only few ideas that you've had on our show notes that I figure actually delivered, my friend.
I really thought you were going to go with if we could transform into any animal for this weekend.
Yeah, that's the good idea, the 260-game seasons?
Well, I'm thinking about it because you got the universal DH, you got all this 3-batter minimum, but I'm like, you know what? I'm intrigued by every game actually matters. That's why I love college football, and I'm like, let's get, like, you know, right now, that game last night, not having Juan Soto in on the for the Nats, and that made a difference at this point. And so, yes, I am involved in that. Plus, I knew that if I was asked if I could be any animal for the weekend, there goes the rest of the hour and a half show, especially with the Lebatard listeners, that we got no chance of lassoing this thing back if we ever start diving into that dumpster of a topic.
Well, you've already started it. So if you could transform into any animal for an entire weekend, which would you choose? Your safety is not guaranteed. So, for example, would you want to be an ant? I don't know. But, Chris, there is a disclaimer about this, correct?
Yes. Also, on top of that, you have your own brain. So it's not like if you choose to be a zebra, you automatically have the zebra's mind and you know what your daily, you know, routine is. You are Peter Burns' brain in the zebra. So you better do your research on the front end.
So it's a squirrel, basically.
What do I need to do?
You should be a squirrel.
Right.
Because that is the most compatible brain.
Do you see what I'm trying to do? I try to just have a baseball segment. I want the suits over at ESPN in Bristol right now and the Disney Corporation to realize Peter Burns decided to say, you know what? Let's talk about this 60-game season. Let's talk about opening day. And yeah, you bring something like this and you reel me in, Katie George.
We talked about baseball.
I think I'm just jumping in. I'm going with the whale, okay? The blue whale, okay? I want to check out the ocean, and I want to feel safe doing it. And I don't know if there's maybe a big great white shark. I don't know. What's the safest animal to be
in the ocean?
Tony, that's what I'm saying. If I want to be in the ocean, Tony, what animal should I be going with? You seem to be
the only. Yes, I do disagree. The only animal you can go with is the top apex predator of the ocean, which is an orca, a.k.a. killer whale. That would be my choice if I had a sea animal that I was going to be for the weekend. If I had a land animal, I'd be a Kodiak grizzly bear.
You have given this a lot more thought than I actually...
So I have notes, actually. I know what I want to be.
We have opening day. There's all of these games being played, and we're doing all this show prep before the show. We're getting ready. We can talk about Jamal Adams and the Jets and how he just ripped into Adam Gase. We can talk about everything that's going on. Tampa Bay Rays just decide to say, it's a great day for opening day. Let's get the killers of Breonna Taylor. All of this stuff, and we've got notes on what animals. What now? I'm intrigued.
I have notes on the other things, too.
But now I'm actually more intrigued about the animal, Katie George.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think so. Okay, so you wanted to be a blue whale. Have you switched, Chris?
I'm sticking with blue whale.
And AC wants to be a killer whale. So I'm going to stick kind of in the sea realm. But my animal choice is 50 land, 50 sea. I want to be a penguin. And here's why.
Wow.
Here's why. Pudgy penguins make great mates. That's where, like, being pudgy is actually valued in that world, and I'm all here for it. Mm-hmm. They can swim 10 miles per hour. They can dive 800 feet deep.
She legitimately
their coat can actually act as camouflage, because I knew Chris was going to say, but penguins are actually, like, lower on the food chain. I understand that, but I think for a weekend I could gamble with that just so I could, like, swim, I could waddle around, and I could, like, slide on my stomach. It just looks so much fun when they're sliding around on their stomachs.
Slip and slide?
Yeah, I think I would have, like, a really good time.
I'm stuck on pudgy. Aren't flamingos generally skinny? I don't remember ever seeing
a pudgy flamingo. Who brought up a flamingo? Why
it's
are you bringing
penguin.
Up a flamingo into a penguin
about?
Conversation?
Penguin, you need to listen
about?
To the show there, Chris.
I thought you said flamingo. You had me Googling pudgy flamingo. Anyways, back to you guys. Sorry.
No, so basically, who was the DH last night for... Here, you talk about my baseball notes?
Yes, Pablo
the flamingo,
Sandoval.
The flamingo would be the Hunter Pence of the world.
That's fair.
The Pablos of the world in the Penguin Nation.
Healthy, husky.
Look how I just tied sports into this deep conversation.
That is well done.
Thank you.
What would Clayton Kershaw be, being on the DL? Is he the wounded hyena? That's the wounded giraffe. Maybe that's what it is. Tall, Clayton Kershaw.
That's good.
No, nobody's working with me here.
He's got flow, so we got to take that into account.
Yes, Billy.
In this game, do you get to choose, like, what stage of life you are on this animal? Because if it's for a weekend, I think I'd be a baby kangaroo and just hang out, like, in my mom's, like, kangaroo pouch.
Yeah, but you're so...
But I have my kangaroo abilities also.
But you have Billy's brain all of a sudden, and this mother kangaroo is going to be expecting you to do the normal things, and you're just Billy in there, so you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Roy's,
I think there's very
Roy's
little expectations of baby kangaroos.
Roy's scratching his head. Roy, do you not like this topic?
No, it's just my head was itching to do it, and I just cracked my head.
Okay,
Pete,
well,
do you have an answer? I mean, like, I have notes. I can keep going about penguin
koala
facts.
Simply because a koala, all it does is just relax. It eats eucalyptus leaves. And I watched a documentary once about koalas and eucalyptus leaves. And basically, I was real bored in college, and it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. We might have been drinking and then going to Taco Bell. But basically, what happens is a koala eats eucalyptus leaves and is just basically drunk and high all day long. And that's what it does. And so, just a koala is just chill at that point. But then you also have to deal with the issues of in Australia. They've been having like really bad forest fires over there and stuff like that. So the koala,
could you imagine
and,
like running away drunk and high? Like that would be really
difficult.
Bad.
And the percentage of chlamydia in koalas is like 80%. So therefore, I have ruled out koalas. I feel like a bald eagle is a good. Oh, Billy, you have a chlamydia take or you have a koala take? Which one?
Well, you'd only have to deal with it for a weekend, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
That's true. You get to come back from it.
Roy, save us here. Because right now I'm going with AC.
What do you
AC
mean save us?
Orca.
You're the one. You're the one who took it there.
Roy?
I'm going with a pelican. You know, you get to fly around, you soar, you see what's below you, you get to dive into the ocean and
I feel like you just made
fish.
That one up. I don't feel like you gave that one a lot of thought. I feel like that was a, like, I love lamp. Like, Brick, are you just naming things in the room?
I was. Not I love lamp, but, you know, I did make that up.
This also goes back to, Roy, a pelican knows exactly where to dive into the ocean, at what angle, at what time they see the fish. You're just Roy in this pelican's body. You're not going to know where to dive.
You're just
how to,
Roy
you're gonna
the
look
pelican.
Like the, you're going to be the worst pelican ever.
I could practice.
See, I think you could waddle around as a penguin not knowing, and like you could figure it out. You know, like if I'm Katie in the pudgy penguin body, like it's not that big of an issue. But flying might be an issue if you don't know what you're doing.
You are now going to be forever known as Katie the Pudgy Penguin. Billy, put it on the poll on the Levitard Twitter account. We need to get down to what the real answer is here from the Levitard and Stugatz army. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. Guests appear on the Dan Levitard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Katie George, Sports Center update, take it away, please.
Barry Alvarez and the University of Wisconsin's athletic department is projecting revenue losses between $60 million and $70 million if the Badgers play a conference-only 10-game season and losses of more than $100 million if the upcoming football season is canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Washington Nationals outfielder Juan Soto has tested positive for the coronavirus and missed Thursday night's season opener against the New York Yankees. He has since produced multiple negative instant results, but his return to play is still to be determined. This sports center is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, back aches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There is no stinging or burning involved. It's simply pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Billy, did you actually put it on the poll, the Chris Cody question about the animals? Did that actually go out from the Levitard Show Twitter account? It did. Did Emu, at one point, was Emu at any point one of the answers given for the Twitter mentions at Levitard Show?
So I put it out with the options of the actual animals that we said. So we have penguin, pelican, koala, baby kangaroo, blue whale, killer whale, bald eagle, and flamingo right now.
Okay.
And then I guess you like listeners can send in their own submissions.
All right. The Twitter poll and the Levitard Show is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection. Shine in no time. What is the winner right now, Billy, with about, 8% of the precincts voting? Do we have a leader in the clubhouse at this point?
Right now, Bald Eagle is running away with it with 58%. The second closest is Blue Whale with 18%.
Okay. You seem perplexed with that, Katie.
I am, because Penguin was such a good choice, but I'm more perplexed that the Blue Whale is getting a perm or a blowout right now. Chris, what's happening?
Yeah, my 2-year-old has decided that this is the perfect time to put makeup on and do my hair. I'm sorry.
By the way, can I tell your 2-year-old that the Toronto Blue Jays are now the Buffalo Blue Jays? Can I break that news to her? Can you put her on the microphone and get her thoughts on such said thing? Because
she's
now
busy. She's blowing
well, Chris,
his hair
what is your daughter's name, real quick?
Gracelyn.
Will she roll with the bit while she's putting makeup on you during this thing? Will Gracelyn actually be able to do this?
Did you know that the Blue Jays are going to be playing in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
she did.
Old news, Pete.
Wait a minute.
Old news.
Who does Gracelyn know that she knew before the United States of America and Canada, for that matter?
Her and Kirk Chin text a lot.
Really? Are you sure it's not Jeff Passan in the Elmo voice? Isn't that probably would have worked?
That would have made sense more, yeah.
What does she think about Juan Soto testing positive, but then two rapid-fire negative tests? Should he have actually played, Chris Cody? Can you ask your two-year-old daughter that?
Gracelyn, should Juan Soto have played last night?
What?
She's getting shy now. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Maybe I'm sorry. This is not working.
No, I think it's working just fine.
She's trying to multitask. Okay, just so everybody can paint a picture. She had a blow dryer, mm-hmm. and so she was blow drying his hair. She then switched to a blush brush and was mm-hmm. rosing up Chris's already pink cheeks. And then she started brushing his hair with a brush, and now she's back to doing makeup. And she actually has a hair straightener as well, a pink hair straightener. This is a lot of tools.
This is a lot
of tools that this two-year-old has. I
have one more question. Will you ask Gracelyn, will there be college football played at least a 10-game schedule?
I'm sensing a yes to a lot of these questions is just her default. But Gracelyn, do you think college football is going to be played this season?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
see, this is I need a yes person. We all need a yes person in our life, Katie George. That's what we need. We need a Gracelyn in our life. Yes, Roy.
Claire is a no person, unfortunately, so she's not going to be good for this one.
Is she around? Can Claire hop in and get her thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays now officially going to be playing in Buffalo in their AAA park? Is she around to do that?
Well, I could try to get her, but she's entrenched in watching Blaze and the Monster Machines on television right now. So
it could be a testy segment. Is that what you're saying? Would it be better than the Mike Norvell interview we did earlier today with Florida State head coach? Why are you guys, everybody's got their hand over their head right now like I did something wrong. What did I do wrong there? I like Mike Norvell. I think he's going to have more success than Willie Taggart in Tallahassee.
If that was an SEC coach, would we be having that conversation? Would you have made that comment, Mr. SEC suck-up?
I don't believe I would have gotten a coach speak answer so much that I got from Mike Norvell. But I do like Mike Norvell. Like, why would you not? He did a great job in Memphis, the offense. Willie Taggart kind of looked – no, he didn't kind of look lost. He looked absolutely lost in Tallahassee. I think we can all agree with that. I'm wishing Mike Norvell the best. That's all I'm – what is wrong with that?
Nothing. And he's got the talent to do it, to maybe be a contender down there against Clemson, who you say is just a cakewalk at all times.
I would just say – now, Roy, real quick, remind me your daughter's name again is –
her name's Claire.
Okay, will you ask Claire, will Florida State and Mike Norvell be a great hire? Will they test Clemson here the next year or two?
Claire, will FSU test Clemson based on the new coaching pick in Mike Norvell?
We need a yes or no.
It looks like a no on this one.
Is that a no?
Can you
preface or say yes or no?
Yes or no?
Okay.
She said okay.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. We got an okay.
I just wish this was a visual medium. I wish this was a visual medium because you guys with your daughters is actually very cute.
Yes,
heartwarming.
We can all agree that Claire and Gracelyn have said more than Mike Norvell did during his interview.
Okay.
That is fair to say to a certain extent. I did not say that was Chris Cody because I disagree with that. I thought he was actually pretty good.
So it was opening day yesterday. It was opening day.
Let's go Wizard of Oz into this.
Okay.
What exactly is a head foot? Like, this is the worst time ever for a head football coach to have to do an interview. So I'm actually going to stick up for Mike Norvell right now because what exactly can you say? Like, no matter what questions we ask, they're all hypotheticals at this point, right? Like, that's why SEC, ACC, Big Ten, that's why everybody has pushed back their media days going full, going, you know, virtual right now, and no one has had them because there's no real good answers that a college coach can give. What is Mike Norvell or Ed Ogeron or Clay Helton or Lincoln Riley, what are they supposed to say? Do you want football? Of course they want football, right? What are you doing, coach, to protect the players? They're going to say that they're protecting the players. Like, no one was going to say, like, I got to be honest with you, I don't know why we're going through this. I mean, you guys are paying me $6.5 million, so, I mean, I'll go through all the hoops and, you know, all the hoops right now just to pretend. Like, I don't blame any coach for having a coach cliched interview right now. Now, if I do one of these interviews in the middle of the season, Katie, and a coach gives me just bland coach speak, I'm pretty upset.
Sure.
But I'm not sure what you can get out of a coach right now leading into the season.
Look, thank you, which is fair because it's not an enviable situation to be in if you're them. Because no matter what they say at this point in time, or no matter what they don't say at this point in time, becomes news, right? No matter which coach is on a radio show, on TV, their soundbite gets clipped and it runs wild, right? Because Mac Brown said, I'm not even turning my attention to spring football. I am fully preparing as if we are playing this fall. That to me, okay, that was good information to know. I mean, what else can you do? What else do you expect him to say? Like, oh yeah, we've mailed it in. We're expecting fully for a spring, but we have no idea because we haven't been told that. I mean, I don't envy these guys in their situations. I would want blinders on, head down, and I'd want my team to be in a little bubble pushing away the outside noise at this given time because it's crazy.
I'm not going to feel too bad for a football coach, especially in the FBS level, because most of them have at least two commas in their yearly annual income, so they're doing okay. You know, they're not laboring 60 hours doing hard manual labor. But at the end of the day, they are in a tough spot when it comes to answering questions because they don't know. Major League Baseball didn't know. Major League Baseball, in its greatness for 100-some-odd years since Abner Doubleday invented the game, as of yesterday, 4 hours before first pitch, Major League Baseball didn't even know how many teams they were going to have in their damn postseason. Like, no one knows anything in 2020. And it's okay. It's fine. We're going to make it.
But now we know. Penguin. 16 games, and the Blue Jays are no longer displaced and homeless. They are playing in Buffalo. Peter Burns, they are working on the lighting situation. That was one of the biggest, I guess, issues that they said, oh, we don't want to play in Buffalo. It's not a major league park, and there's not enough lights. So they are tending to that. They want to have a home stadium of sorts. They don't want to be road warriors for the entire 60-game season. So look, now they're figuring it out, even though it took a couple of days for them to find a home.
You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, our favorite Pudgy Penguin. We'll get back into the Levitard Show Twitter account. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. And Chris Cody is probably going to get calls from ESPN radio executives here in a little bit. I'll admit it. It is Peter Burns, Katie George here for Dan Lebitard and the Stugatz Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. And I remember, all guests on the Dan Lebitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dean Karnazes is going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes. But first, right now, a Sports Center update with Katie, the Pudgy Penguin George.
Barry Alvarez in the University of Wisconsin's athletic department is projecting revenue losses between $60 million and $70 million if the Badgers play a conference-only 10-game season and losses of more than $100 million if the upcoming football season is canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Atlanta Braves just announced both catchers, Tyler Flowers and Travis Darnoux, will not be available today. They both tested negative but have shown symptoms and are currently back in Atlanta. This sports center is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simply pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. A lot of stuff going on. Major League Baseball continues their opening day for a bunch of different teams. Of course, remember, saw the news yesterday. The Nats were out the services of Juan Soto as they lost to the Yankees 4-1. Dodgers won 8-1. Kiki Hernandez 4-5 from the plate. And so we could have gone a bunch of different ways. We could have had Jeff Passan on to talk Major League Baseball. We could have talked to someone to talk about Jamal Adams and him just throwing Adam Gase underneath the bus, saying pretty much trying to force his way out of there. But then we get an email earlier this week about the event that's coming up tomorrow, and it's Bike for Humanity, and Bill Walton is a part of it, but also Dean Karnazes is joining us right now. And ultra marathoner, and I'm so intrigued by all of this because I hate even running to the end of my neighborhood, Katie. And so I'm reading these accolades that you have, Dean, as you're part of this Bike for Humanity. You once ran 350 miles in 80 hours without sleep in 2005. My question here is, why?
I couldn't sleep, so I decided I'll just run down the block, and it just kept going. But no, I wanted to see how far I could go. I just had a curiosity, like, hey, if I walk out my front door and start running, how far can I make it? And that was it, 350 miles.
I mean, but that's like just one of, I'm reading like 80 different accomplishments, Dean. You ran 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days. Where did that idea come from? And what was the worst state to run a marathon in?
it was a thought. I heard about a guy who was part of this 50 state club. He was saying, you know, I've run a marathon in every state. And I didn't know every state had a marathon. And I said, how long did it take you? And he said 9 years. And I thought, God, I'm going to be dead in 9 years. I wonder if I could, you know, do it in 50 days. So that's where it came from. And the worst day to run in, I hate to say this, it was so humid in Florida. I'm from California. We have heat, but not like what you guys have. It was that humidity is crushing.
It is. Like, it's a soup. Like, you're basically just swimming in soup, and that's what it is. Now, you guys are a part tomorrow of this Bike for Humanity. You can go check it out. BikeForHumanity.com is an initiative created by Hall of Famer Bill Walton back in April, and y'all are doing your second rendition. And tell us a little bit about what this is before I ask just the weird questions about getting back into some of the accolades you have.
it's a charity bike ride, and you're right. It's started by Bill Walton, who... You know, the guy, like I said, Bill, let's go running. He can't run. The guy, first of all, the guy is huge. So, big people have a tougher time running. And so, but he's a huge cyclist. So he started this Bike for Humanity. I'm riding this thing called an Elliptigo, which is a stand-up bike. I'm a runner. I can't sit down. So this company called Elliptigo made a bike that's basically like an elliptical machine in the gym. And that's how you ride it, standing up. So I'm going to try to ride what's called a century, 100 miles on the Elliptigo as my part. And if you participate in Bike for Humanity, it's all virtual, and you can ride a mile, or you can ride 100 miles with me. But you can do it in your driveway, or you can head out someplace safe, and that's what it's all about. And kudos to Bill Walton. I mean, we're going to raise, I think, upwards of $1 million for charity. So
wow.
He continues to be a big force.
You mentioned the word virtual, which obviously we are all learning and are familiar with at this point. How did your plans change, or how did you guys have to adapt this event when obviously COVID started?
I mean, I was listening to your broadcast, prior to you asking that question. I'm just thinking it's crazy everything has changed. I mean, the way they're, the baseball is being played without people in the bleachers. And it's the same thing with Bike for Humanity. I mean, typically you'd ride up to like an aid station where there'd be a bunch of volunteers, handing you food and Gatorade and that sort of thing. That's just not happening now. So it's basically you just do it in your neighborhood, wherever you live across the world. I mean, this is a global event, and you're self-supported. I ride with what's called a hydration pack. I carry everything I need on my pack, and that's how I get it done.
Dean Karnazes is joining us right now, ultra marathoner, being part of these Bike for Humanity that's taking place tomorrow. For more information, go to bikeforhumanity.com. Now, we do have a bevy of different questions we're going to ask. We're going to go around the horn here with the Levitard crew. But at what point did all of a sudden you're like, I'm just going to start running really far and doing these ultra marathons? Like 8 years old, 12 years old? At what time did you think, yeah, this is my shtick?
That's a loaded question. I used to love to run when I was a kid, but then I stopped running when I was a teenager. You know, I thought running was boring. And then I was in a bar on my 30th birthday, you know, doing what everyone does on their 30th birthday. And at midnight, my buddy said, let's have another round of tequila to celebrate your 30th birthday. And I said, no, I'm gonna go run 30 miles to celebrate instead. And they looked at me and they said, but you're not a runner, you're drunk. And I said, yeah, I am drunk, but I'm still going to do it. And I literally walked out of a bar in San Francisco at midnight, took off my pants. I had, you know, these comfortable silk jockey, you know, underwear on and just stumbled off into the night. And literally that night, I ran the entire night. It took me about 7.5 hours and ended up in a city called Half Moon Bay, which is 30 miles away from San Francisco. And that's after that point, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a runner. I quit my job and started running.
You're drunk on tequila, leaving a bar at midnight. You rip off your pants and you decide, I'm 7.5 hours later. I think I'm going to Forrest Gump this. This is fascinating to me, Kate.
It was all good until the tequila wore off. After about 10 or 12 miles, you know, the numbness of being drunk dissipated. And then there was the pain of running. But it just felt right. I kept going, and that was it. Stopped drinking and started running.
I mean, what kind of shoes did you have on?
So funny. They were like gardening shoes. I remember they were like Reebok gardening shoes. I didn't own running stuff. I mean, I hadn't run in 15 years. And, you know, obviously there was some chafing where the sun don't shine. There was some blistering going on that night. But I still made it, and that was it. I just said, I went and bought some running shoes after that and started running.
Dean Karnas is joining us right now, ultramarathoner. He's being a part of this Bike for Humanity coming up tomorrow. It's funny because when we do these interviews, everybody occasionally will raise their hand because they have a question. Every single person here on the Levitard Show has raised their hand like 3 or 4 times with follow-ups. Chris Cowdy, go ahead, take it away. First question.
I'm curious with, like, you're such a great runner. I'm wondering if you get, like, normal cramps or you feel pain when you're doing this. What is the worst pain you get on a long run? And if you get cramps, do you just power through them? How do you deal with them?
Yeah, that's funny. I guess I don't feel pain as much as others. It's hard to say because, you know, when I run 100 miles, you know, next to another person and they say I'm in so much pain, I still feel pain, but I don't know if their pain is worse than my pain. But one thing it's funny. I don't cramp. Like, I've never had a muscle cramp. Thank goodness it looks horrible. I've seen people cramping before and it just looks painful. So I don't cramp. I think the worst thing that happens to me is like when I ran 350 miles, that third night of running, I was waking up running down the middle of the road and I was thinking, why am I running down the middle of the road? And I'd meander back over the shoulder and then I'd wake up running down the middle of the road again. I realized that I was sleep running. I was falling asleep, but just willing my body to keep going and sleep running.
Wait, how long did you go without actual sleep?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't stop. I ran straight through 3 nights.
What?
Right, Billy, I need a second to comprehend this. Go, Billy.
Okay, so I see that you've run through the South Pole, you've run through Death Valley, you ran from Disneyland to New York, you've sleep run, you decide on your 30th birthday just to go running. You seem like you don't sit still. So what is the longest that you've just sat still and not gone running because you were bored?
That's a good question. I mean, I've been doing this now, I don't want to date myself, for over 2 decades, and the longest I've ever not run has been 2 days. I had a really bad flu and yeah, I was going crazy. I was driving my family crazy and I went running and I felt better. So, it's been 2 days that I haven't run and I never sit down. I mean, even right now, I'm standing up. I've had a stand, you know, my whole office is set up at standing level and I've got a pull up bar in there and a sit up mat. And I do HIIT training throughout the day, but I never sit down. I eat standing up. I do everything standing up. And that's, it gets back to why even on this bike ride tomorrow, I'm riding a standing up bike. I can't sit down.
Do your friends hate you? Like, I just feel, I feel at this point, like you're the guy that they're like, oh great. Yeah. Here comes Dean. Wants to probably go running again.
you know, if running is your thing, I guess I'm it. But to a lot of people, running, like, as you were saying, you don't like running down the driveway.
I learn something new every single day. Dean Karnazes, what you and Bill Walton are doing is going to be great. So many other questions, and I'll follow up at a different time, including bleeding and all kinds of things. All right, it's Bike for Humanity is going to be a fantastic event tomorrow. Best of luck, and I guess keep running, my friend.
Thanks, Dean.
Hey, thank you. You guys take care of yourself.
We will.
Strength and endurance to you. Be well.
I mean, seriously, I had 32 double stuffed Oreos and I've sat in Indian style on the couch right now doing this show. And now I've never felt so bad about myself in my life. Peter Burns, Katie George, the Pudgy Penguin.